response upon finding out my identity, wouldn't he be standing in the hall right now with his amazing smile telling me he wanted to get married and have indie rock babies with me? Unless he hadn't gotten my letter at all and still didn't know who I was. I replayed the final words Mr. Ortega said over and over. I pictured the note falling into the open desk drawer. I needed that letter. I was going to get that letter. It would tell me if Cade had gotten mine. It would tell me if I needed to avoid him forever or not. I sent my sister a text during final period, telling her I was getting a ride home with Isabel. Then I sent Isabel one too, hoping she'd agree to that ride. And I added, "Want to help me steal some keys from the front office after school so I can rescue the letter?" I told her what had happened during lunch. She was just as horrified as I was. Her solution was for me to just tell Cade face to face. My solution was one that might save me a lifetime of humiliation, depending on what the letter said. Now she texted back, "Of course I do. I'll distract, you retrieve." And that's where I was now, retrieving. I could hear Isabel's voice at the front desk talking to Mrs. Clark. I had snuck in the back door of the main office and was heading for the long desk. Isabel had a tough job. She not only had to distract Mrs. Clark while I stole the keys, but the whole time I was gone, too, so that I could put them back without her discovering they were missing. I'd promised Isabel I'd be as fast as possible. I'd also promised her an ice cream sundae, but that wasn't helpful to think about now. Mr. Ortega didn't have a seventh period class, so I knew he'd be long gone. I only hoped he hadn't locked his desk like he did the door. The keys were easy to get. I'd used them before because I was trustworthy and responsible. I was pretty sure I would single-handedly destroy that reputation with Mrs. Clark if she saw me now. I tucked the keys into my pocket so they wouldn't jingle and rushed back outside. Once out, I picked up my pace to a run. I was not a runner. I did not like to run, but I ran like I meant it. Maybe I should have joined the cross-country team after all because I wasn't half bad at this. For about one stretch of sidewalk. By the time I made it to the science building, I had cursed not only the entire cross-country team, but the sport as a whole. I had a cramp that was sending a painful jolt up my side, and I could barely breathe. In front of the door to chemistry, I bent over the waist to gulp some air. Then I remembered Isabel talking to Mrs. Clark, and I straightened up and began the process of elimination to find the key. I had tried 5 on the ring of what felt like 500, when the door at the end of the hall slammed shut. I shoved another key in, and as luck would have it, the lock turned and I slipped into safety. The room was dark, the blinds drawn, and it took a moment for my eyes to adjust. I crept forward, my hands out in front of me. I had made it to the back row of desks when the door swung open, and I turned around with a gasp, frantically thinking of a way to explain myself to Mr. Ortega. But it wasn't Mr. Ortega. It was Cade, his dazzling smile lighting up the room. The door shut behind him with a click. "Have I started you down a pathway of crime?" he asked. I tried to catch my breath again. "Are you trying to take credit for this?"
"I called your name outside, but you were running like someone was chasing you."
"I'm practicing for cross country."
"You are?"
"No, I'm not. Running is the worst. Why do people do that on purpose?" He smiled.
"Those aren't exactly the right shoes for it."
I looked down at my purple Docs. He was right. They were too heavy for running. He glanced around the room.
"So what are you doing?"
"Don't you have baseball practice?" I wiped at a bead of sweat on my temple.
"I was heading there when I saw you."
"Do you have to run at baseball practice?"
"Sometimes."
"I'm sorry." Cade smiled.
"I know I'm not the most observant person in the world, but I get the feeling you don't want to answer my question."
I laughed. "What gives you that idea?"
"Oh, I don't know."
Isabel was going to kill me if I didn't get rid of him soon and get on with the task.
"Did you change your mind?"
he asked. "Change my mind? About what?"
"You answered, and now you're trying to take back whatever you said?"
My eyes, which had been avoiding his very well up until this point, now latched onto them. He knew I was the letter writer. So he had gotten my letter after all. He was at the advantage now because he knew I liked him, and I had no idea how he felt. It's possible he wrote me an amazing letter about how he thought we would be great friends.
No, I said.
No what?
No, I didn't write back. I mean, I would have, probably, maybe, but I didn't get yours. Mr. Ortega stole it.
A slow smile spread across his lips.
Really? Cade, please don't take joy in my panic.
He laughed. But it's so fun.
I took a couple steps sideways, trying to get around the back row of desks and to Mr. Ortega's. I'm just going to rescue the letter from his desk and talk to you when I'm done reading it.
I turned past my desk, our desk, and was almost to the aisle when he stopped me with,
Lily.
Just wait, okay?
Lily.
He was behind me now and placed his hands on my shoulders, turning me to face him. The heat from his hands seemed to seep into my skin, warming me.
You don't need to break into his desk. I can tell you what the letter says. I reread it a million times. I should know.
That last sentence he said under his breath. Letters were safe. They were words. Easy to read if enjoyable and stop reading if hurtful. Letters didn't stare at me like Cade was now staring at me, full of fire.
I'm scared, I said.
Don't be.
He cleared his throat.
Dear Lily,
he started. And his intense gaze didn't waver.
I've known you were the letter writer since the night I picked up Wyatt for baseball practice several weeks ago. I heard the music you were playing, a song only we, and possibly up to 100 other people would know.
My breath stopped short in my throat.
What?
I interrupted him. You knew before Thanksgiving? Why didn't you say anything?
Why didn't you say anything?
Because you hated me.
I had the same reason, because you hated me. I thought if you knew it was me that you'd stop writing.
My mind went back to our exchanges over the last few weeks. How he had raised his eyebrows when I mentioned us getting along because it was Thanksgiving, a reference to our letters I hadn't thought he'd put together. Thanksgiving. He knew it was me that whole day, and then I kicked him out of my house. No wonder he thought I hated him. There was something I still didn't understand, though. What about Sasha?
What about her? I told you we're not together.
Were you?
No. She asked me out. I felt I needed to give her a chance. She's a friend. I did. We weren't... What's that word you used? Compatible?
I nodded. But how? Why? She had the letters I wrote to you.
She did?
He sighed.
I kept them in the glove box of my car. She must have found them. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I thought you thought she was me.
You thought that I thought she was the letter writer?
His voice was as shocked as his expression.
Sasha?
I laughed.
Yes? No, I didn't. Not for one second. Not even when I went into chemistry and saw her sitting in our seat. I'll get the letters back from her.
She gave them to me.
She did? That's not like her.
What do you mean?
She wasn't exactly happy when I told her she and I weren't compatible. I'm surprised she didn't use the notes against us.
I hadn't thought about it before, but that surprised me too.
Lucky us?
Seriously. Now, shh, I'm trying to read you a letter.
He was still holding my shoulders. I was still warm from the inside out. Go on, then.
I was surprised when I found out it was you that day. But the more I thought about it, the less I was surprised. Then I was frustrated, because this amazing girl I'd come to know on paper was the only girl in the whole school who wanted nothing to do with me.
The only girl in the whole school? That might be a bit of an exaggeration.
No interrupting letters. If you were reading this, you wouldn't be able to interrupt.
I would have definitely stopped at that part to scoff. He laughed and sent my heart racing.
So, he went on, I thought maybe if you could get to know me through the letters, without knowing who I was in real life, that you would eventually be willing to look past my mistakes. I was again surprised to learn you had been doing the same thing. So here we are, at a crossroads.
I waited for him to continue, to finish. He didn't. I spoke up. Here we are at a crossroads? That's how you ended it? All cryptic like that? He took a step forward. Even though there wasn't room to take that step, my legs hit a desk.
I think there might have been a P.S., he said.
I couldn't breathe again. Only this time it had nothing to do with running. It had to do with his closeness and his voice, which had turned quiet, and his eyes that hadn't left mine since he arrived. My voice had lowered, too. P.S. We haven't written one of those before.
It felt like it needed one.
It did need one.
P.S.
He brushed a piece of hair off of my cheek.
I like you. A lot.
My breathing was shallow, my eyes starting to water from staring too long. That's a great P.S.
For our first one, I thought it was solid.
It didn't take much because he was so close. All I had to do was rise up on my tiptoes, and our lips met. He tasted like mint gum and all my hopes and dreams. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them. His hands moved to my back, where they pulled me against him. He deepened the kiss. My arms slid their way under his, finding his back as well. Why had we waited so long to do this? His breath was warm, his kiss as intense as his stare had been. Something clattered onto the floor, and I vaguely registered it was the keys I'd been holding. My brain was too muddled to think about that for another blissful moment in his arms. Then I remembered Isabel. I gasped and pulled away. Too fast. The back of my legs whacked against a chair. Ouch!
Are you okay?
I'm fine. The keys. Isabel, I have to go. I somehow twisted my way out of his arms, swiped the keys off the floor, and took off.
Lily!
We'll talk later. I like you too. I turned and walked backward for a moment, smiling his way, in case that wasn't obvious. Then I left. Running was fun. Freeing. So easy. Chapter 45. I'll drive, you talk. That was the first thing Isabel said when we climbed into her car. I'd managed to put the keys back in the office, thanking whatever form of luck had kept Mrs. Clark and Isabel talking the entire time. Then I went through the front door of the office. There you are, I'd said to Isabel, as though I'd been searching the campus over for her. She turned around at the sound of my voice, and the look in her eyes spelled murder. I tried to convey to her that I was sorry with one look as well. She'd hooked her arm in mine and said, It was great talking to you, Mrs. Clark. Thanks for the info on dress code.
You're welcome, hon. See you later.
We then walked away in silence, like we were being tailed by a spy, not saying a word until in the safety of her car. I'm sorry, I said now, buckling my seatbelt. Why? What happened? She pulled out of the parking lot. A smile spread across my face. Nothing. Everything. Cade showed up. I guess he saw me running by and followed me.
He did?
Yes, and he knew. He knew I was the letter writer for weeks, but he thought I hated him, so he didn't want to tell me. Isabel gave a knowing laugh. So you were both being dumb.
Yes. How did you keep Mrs. Clark talking for that long, by the way?
What? No, who cares? Why are you asking that question when you haven't finished telling me the story? I laughed. Wow, I could really drag this out and make you mad. She grabbed my hand and squeezed. But you won't do that because you owe me big time for what I just did.
True, thank you so much.
I don't need your praise, I need the rest of the story. Tell me. I sucked my lips in to keep from laughing again. She was portraying perfectly how I felt on the inside, all excitement and manic happiness. Okay, sorry. Let's see, where was I? So, he recited his letter, which he had apparently memorized, to me, not letting me get it from the desk. Basically, he said that he was afraid I wouldn't like him once I found out who he was, and that when he realized I was doing the same thing, he was relieved. And then he told me he liked me. So I kissed him. But then I remembered you were waiting, so I ran.
Wait, what?
Isabel cried, her eyes on the road as the car swerved a tiny bit. You're just going to casually mention kissing him and move on like that's nothing?
I wasn't going to casually mention kissing him. I wanted to go into detail, but suddenly, with Isabel sitting next to me, squeezing my hand,
I remembered something I hadn't when I was kissing him. That she'd kissed him too.
Don't, she said, as though reading my mind. Don't think about that. We've both kissed several people since then, and I'm sure it's nothing close to the same. We were young.
I wasn't even thinking about that, Lil, I promise. You two are adorable. It's not even comparable to what Cade and I had, so spill it.
I let out a happy sigh. It was perfect.
She pulled into a parking lot, and I realized she was taking me up on the ice cream sundae offer right this second.
This story is going to be even better with ice cream, she said.
It was 7 o'clock when the doorbell rang. I was already in my pajamas and makeup free. I hardly registered the doorbell because I'd just written several lines of a new song, one that wouldn't exploit Cade's tragic life.
It's easy to judge not knowing the truth, only seeing carefully built walls. It's hard to undo years written in youth, but how amazing when the tower finally falls, and I see you standing there, all sweet and kind of scared, and you see me standing here, hope in my eyes, but full of fear.
A knock at my door startled me from the lyrics. Yeah? The door opened and my mom's face appeared. Hey, you have a visitor.
I do?
She didn't give me a chance to ask another question, just swung my door open the rest of the way, revealing Cade. He stood, hands clasped in front of him, his posture reserved, shoulders down, head bowed slightly, like he wasn't sure how I'd receive him.
Hey!
I jumped up, a smile instantly on my face. Come in. He looked to my mom to make sure that was okay. Keep the door open, was all she said in return, then walked away.
I don't have your phone number, he said,
looking around my room, then choosing the desk chair at the foot of my bed as his landing place.
I wanted to see you.
I sunk back down to my bed, my smile far from leaving my face. I will give you my phone number so that I'll be better prepared for you next time. I patted my hair and tugged on my t-shirt.
You look adorable.
He rolled the desk chair around my bed so we were now knee to knee.
You are adorable. I want to kiss you. I can do that now, right?
I only got one head bob of my nod in before he took my face in his hands and pulled me to him. Given the urgency in his eyes, I thought our lips would collide. But right before they did, he paused, breathed me in, then ran his lips slowly across mine. My breath was gone, and I grabbed hold of the front of his shirt and tugged him toward me. The kiss didn't last long enough before he pulled away again.
I just wanted to make sure, Cade said with a smile. With the way you left today, I wasn't sure where we stood.
You think I'd just go around kissing boys for fun?
I don't know what to think of you. You constantly surprise me. I honestly thought that you'd be waiting for me after baseball practice.
I made a face. You wanted me to wait around school for over an hour? He laughed.
No, I did not. That would be boring.
Oh, I said, suddenly realizing something. That's what other girls have done. I'm sorry. That probably would have been a good show of how much I liked you or something.
Don't be sorry. I like that your life doesn't revolve around this.
He pointed between the two of us, and I grabbed his finger. What do you mean by this?
Us.
Us? I like us. He kissed my hand that was still holding his finger.
Me too.
Chapter 46. If I thought back over the past several weeks, I could trace the days where lyrics came easy to me. Those were the days when some emotional height was reached. Days when the letter I found in chemistry was funny, or heartfelt, or sad. Or the day when I discovered the letter writer was Cade. Those were the days the lyrics seemed to pour out of me in a wave of emotion. Now, only days after kissing Cade for the first time, but with less than a week left to finish up a song for the contest, tension was definitely not an emotion that was helping at all. My sister wasn't being helpful either. She was singing pop songs she loved at the top of her lungs while telling me I should try to make my song more like whatever song she was singing. Please, I beg of you, can you be quiet? I had bought a guitar from Craigslist with the money she gave me and was feeling very ungrateful that I now wanted to kick her out of the room. I'd already come up with what I thought was a good tune, and her singing was only throwing me off. All I had to do was finish the lyrics.
I will do your laundry for a week if you give me an hour alone.
You'll shrink my stuff on purpose so you can wear it, Ashley said. That wasn't a bad idea. I stood up, pulled her up by her arms, which was harder than I thought it would be, and deposited her outside of the room. 1 hour. She didn't fight it as I heard her sing her way down the hall. I sank onto my bed and picked up the guitar again. The silence was supposed to bring me inspiration, but my mind went blank. I picked up my phone and shot off a text. I need inspiration. Cade sent me back a selfie, him making a smoldering face, and I laughed. Yeah, that didn't work.
That's all I have to work with, he replied. You're out of luck. You writing a song?
Trying to. 1 week left.
You'll figure it out. Don't you have a whole notebook full of lyrics? Is there something you can use in there?
I stared at that notebook on my nightstand. My favorite song was the one I'd first written about him, Left Behind. I couldn't use that. I had no right to assign emotions and words to his experience. I'll figure something out, I wrote back. Now leave me alone. I'm trying to write. He sent me another model face selfie, and I laughed and tucked my phone away. Cade came up behind me in the school parking lot Monday morning and picked me up in a hug. I let out a surprised yelp. He kissed my cheek and put me down. My cheeks were hot as he grabbed my hand and we continued walking.
Did that embarrass you? He asked.
No, just surprised me. He studied my face for a moment.
Are you not okay with being public about this?
I had been more worried that he wouldn't be. I was fine. Of course I'm okay with this.
I'm not ruining your hipster vibe.
I laughed. My hipster vibe? I didn't know I had one of those.
Oh, you do. You're casually cool, uniquely different, and I'm totally throwing that off.
He gestured to himself. His smile made it seem like a joke, but I wondered if he really was worried. I stopped, turned toward him, and kissed him in the middle of the crowded parking lot. You're my favorite mainstream boy in the world. Don't forget it. This time, he blushed a little.
Good, because I am pretty great. I just wanted to make sure you appreciated that.
He winked at me, his confidence back. I rolled my eyes and pulled him forward along with me. Oh, I do.
Did you find your inspiration over the weekend?
I growled.
That good, huh?
I wrote and erased 5 lines.
When can I hear your songs?
When Blackout lets me write for them. He laughed.
I have an idea for inspiration. How about you actually come to the rally today?
The school rally? The one they do in the gym with screaming people and chanting and school spirit and... Wait, how do you know I don't go to rallies?
I notice you, Lily Abbott.
I smiled. I'm still not going to the rally.
Just today. They're doing some big thing for the football team and then introducing the post-winter break sports. That's me. You want to be supportive and stuff, right? And I actually expect you to come to some of my baseball games in the spring.
I'm super supportive. I'm going to be there. At the rally and at your games. You watch me. I will be the best girlfriend ever. I said the word before I realized I said it, then quickly backtracked. I mean, not necessarily girlfriend. Dating person. The person you go out with. And kiss. And I'm sorry, I'm still weird.
You are adorable. And I didn't think I needed to ask. I thought it was assumed. But I'll ask.
Then he did the most embarrassing thing in the world. He threw his hands in the air as we were approaching the commons and screamed,
Lily, will you be my girlfriend?
Not after that, I won't, I said.
Really?
Of course I will. Now put your hands down and stop being so mainstream. Loud. He laughed and gave me a quick kiss.
See you at the rally, girlfriend.
If I smiled any more at school, people might start to think I actually liked to be there. I settled into my seat in chemistry, a new feeling of appreciation for the class coming over me. Maybe I owed chemistry some effort for all it had done for me. I was going to get my grade up. Isabel would help me. My hand immediately went to the underside of the desk, even though Cade and I both knew Mr. Ortega was on to us, and we'd said we wouldn't write anymore. My smile widened when I felt something there. You and Cade, huh? Lauren said from next to me, and I jumped a little. I pulled the letter onto my lap so she wouldn't see it. I guess, I replied. I mean, yes, me and Cade. Cade and I. We don't really fit, but we... Why was I explaining myself to Lauren? Yes. I forced myself to stop with that. She looked over my shoulder and nodded. I quickly glanced over as well and saw the back of Sasha heading to her seat. I was surprised she hadn't said anything. She was probably embarrassed. She'd said enough over the last few weeks. I was glad she was going to quietly lick her wounds. I waited several minutes until Mr. Ortega started his lesson, until Lauren was busy taking notes, to open the letter. The handwriting brought my smile back.
Hi. I know we're not writing anymore, but I couldn't help myself. I'm thinking about you. Plus, I forgot to tell you something this morning. Remind me later. Now pay attention or Mr. Ortega will steal this.
I grabbed my phone from my bag and sent him off a quick text. You know that there is this thing that magically takes words and sends them through the air and delivers them to a recipient? It's kind of new, so I didn't know if you'd heard about it, but you use it for its speed. He wrote back immediately.
Like an airplane that attaches words to its tail? I thought those only advertised sales and things. I wonder how much they charge per word.
My cheeks hurt. He must have read my letters as much as I'd read his. You're my favorite, I replied. I need your letters back, by the way. They belong to me. The class had gone quiet, and I silently cursed. I looked up to see if everyone was staring at me, but they weren't. Mr. Ortega was just writing something on the board. It was my lucky day. A lyric came into my mind. You're my favorite way to pass the time, but time stands still when you're on my mind. I reached inside my backpack to write it down, but couldn't find my notebook. I must have left it on my nightstand the night before. That was new and kind of refreshing. I smiled a little and jotted the note on the corner of a scrap paper instead. The clock told me I still had 30 minutes left of class. Then it was the rally. Another thing I never thought I'd look forward to. Chapter 47. I hadn't been to a rally in a while. It was loud. Isabel leaned close as we sat in the bleachers. The things we do for your boyfriend, she said with a smile. I was just thinking the same thing. We had gotten to the point in the rally where the football team had just been congratulated for its amazing season. The sports teams we were now supposed to direct all our fan efforts toward were standing across the stage. I smiled at Cade, who had caught my eye. One of the coaches tapped the microphone and asked,
Is this thing on?
It was definitely on. Sasha, who must have been a tennis player or a swimmer or on some sort of spring team, walked across the stage to the coach holding the microphone. She said something too quiet for all of us to hear.
Nobody told me about that,
the coach responded back, loud and clear in the mic. She said something else.
A poetry contest?
She leaned into the mic so that she could be heard too. This school isn't entirely about sports, right? We were supposed to announce the winner of the poetry contest. What is she talking about? Isabel asked. I shrugged. No idea. Maybe she's the president of a poetry club? Though I couldn't quite see that.
That's not on the agenda, the coach said. Please take a seat, Sasha.
Coach Davis, Sasha replied, her voice louder now. I wouldn't want a social media blow-up about how Morris High only cares about their sports teams. The coach looked around as if expecting someone to jump to his rescue. When nobody did, he handed the microphone to Sasha.
Make it quick.
She put on a wide smile and faced the gym. Hello, Morris High. This brought a loud cheer. As many of you know, if you read the school paper, we held a poetry contest this first semester. I'm here to read the winning entry to you. You're all going to love this. That's when she took off her backpack that I hadn't noticed before, and pulled out my notebook. I recognized it from across the gym, the two-tone purple and green with my black doodles penned all over it. My stomach fell in horror. No. Isabel gasped. She obviously recognized my notebook, too. This poem was written by Junior Lily Abbott, dedicated to Cade Jennings. It seemed like the whole room let out a collective, aww. What are you going to do? Isabel asked. I was frozen, half ready to jump up and tackle Sasha, half ready to run out of the gym. My eyes darted to Cade. He had a confused smile on.
I know, Sasha continued. Cute, right? Well, what many of you don't know is that Cade's dad left him and his family several years back. A tragedy, really. And Lily wrote an amazing poem about it.
This was a nightmare. I hadn't written Cade's name on any of the pages, but the ones she'd already read in detention. She was assuming this song was about Cade. Assuming because of the other lyrics. Assuming because of all the notes I'd written in the margins. She was assuming because she wanted to hurt me. And probably him. I shook my head at Cade and mouthed the words, "Stop her." He was much closer to Sasha than I was. He was on the stage with her. But he wasn't looking at me. He was looking at Sasha in horror. He seemed to be as frozen as I was. I couldn't let this happen. I stood and began working my way down the bleachers, through students and over backpacks. But Sasha was already reading my lyrics to Left Behind out loud. Cade's very private life was now echoing through the suddenly completely silent gym. By the time I was on the floor and heading toward the stage, she was reading the last two lines. My words were echoing through a gym full of people. People, I noticed, who seemed captivated by them. I stopped as Sasha finished. Now I stood in the middle of the basketball court alone, on the eye of our school mascot painted there. A bull.
And there she is, Sasha said, in the sweetest voice. Everyone give her a hand. Come on up and accept your award, Lily.
I did go up, because I wanted my notebook back, and I wanted to pull Cade out of there and explain everything. But it didn't happen that way. When I'd climbed the five steps to the stage to the loud applause, Cade was gone.
You are cruel,
I said to Sasha under my breath. I yanked my notebook out of her hands.
He didn't deserve that.
She smiled, pulled me into a hug, and whispered,
You both did.
She wanted me to react, wanted me to punch her or shove her and have the whole school witness that I was a jerk who treated her poorly after she'd just showered me with praise. Plus, if I acted like this was a big deal, it would turn into a big deal. People would think she'd just exposed something about Cade that she shouldn't have. I wouldn't do that to him. So I smiled, said a wobbly thank you into the microphone, then walked as quickly as possible off the stage and outside, where I searched in vain for Cade. Over the next 30 minutes, I sent him what felt like 100 texts that all went something like, She stole my book. I did not enter that into a contest. I'm sorry. Where are you? Can we talk about this? This was her revenge. You know it was. Please know I did not want this to happen. He didn't respond. Not to a single one. It was over. We were over before we'd ever begun. I rounded the baseball field a second time, hoping he had shown up there sometime between me searching the boys' locker room and the cafeteria kitchen. Then my phone buzzed. Hope shot through me until I saw the text was from Isabel. Where are you? Home plate, I responded, dejected. She was there in minutes. Should we beat her up now or later? Isabel asked, her eyes flashing. I pressed my palms to my temples. I'm worried about him.
Don't worry about him. He'll be fine. It was a really good song, by the way. Everyone was talking about it.
A small surge of pride went through me, the same one I had felt for a split second while standing in the middle of that gym, my words filling it. I pushed the feeling back down. Isabel, I said, my voice breaking. He's kept this a huge secret, and now the entire school knows because of me and my stupid lyrics.
Not because of you, because of Sasha. I should have never written about his life in the first place.
He stuck those notes all about his life under a desk, Isabel pointed out. Anyone could have gotten a hold of them. You could have been anyone, Lily, not you. Not kind, loyal, trustworthy, you. He got lucky. This could have happened to him weeks ago because of his own doing.
But it didn't. It happened now. Because of me.
Well, go explain that to him. I looked at my phone again. He won't answer me.
Then go find him.
She dug her keys out of her pocket and held them out for me. I'll have Gabriel pick me up. I didn't hesitate. I grabbed the keys, hugged Isabel, and took off running. Chapter 48. I had been everywhere. Kate's house, the kids' baseball field at the park, in and out, along with every other fast food restaurant I had ever seen him at in the past, as well as the ones where I hadn't. He wasn't anywhere. I was now just driving, looking around, because he was obviously somewhere, and it killed me that apparently I didn't know him well enough to know where that somewhere was. School was long out by now. I'd texted my sister earlier not to pick me up. Had he gone back to school for practice? Did he go somewhere to think? I drove home. Maybe he'd gone to my house. He liked my house. His car wasn't in front when I pulled up, but I checked all the rooms and backyard anyway. He wasn't here. I didn't know why I thought he'd come running to me when I was the person he was quite obviously running from right now. I dropped Isabel's car keys on the floor in my bedroom and collapsed onto my bed, not sure what to do at this point. Just wait for him to text me? I felt like there'd been too much waiting when it came to the two of us, and I wasn't sure we'd survive another session of it. Wyatt's head appeared around my partially open door. Hi. Hey. Can I talk to you? He inched his way into my room, but lingered by the door. Sure, come in. I scooted over on the bed, still on my back, and padded the space next to me. My brother joined me there, lying next to me, staring at the ceiling. When he didn't say anything, I asked, "What's going on?" "I hope you don't hate me." I propped myself up on my elbows, worried now. "I don't hate you. What happened?" He couldn't look at me. He stared hard at the ceiling, like it wasn't just an empty white expanse, like it might actually be telling him something, judging him. Finally, he spit out, "I was the one who broke your guitar. I'm sorry." I sighed and let myself fall back again. "You hate me now." "No, I don't hate you. I could never hate you. I'm tired. I've just had a long day." "You're not mad?" I was mad and sad and frustrated and feeling very guilty for having blamed Jonah all this time for something he hadn't done. "We need to apologize to Jonah, don't you think?" "Yes." "Together?" I held up my hand, and Wyatt put his against it. His fingers were nearly as long as mine. When did that happen? "How did you break it anyway?" Maybe I shouldn't have asked. The story might only ignite the anger that I didn't have the energy for right now. "I fell on it." "What? Why was it out of the case?" Wyatt looked embarrassed. "I wanted to learn how to play. Like you." I smiled and tousled his hair. "Who taught you the flattery rule?" "Dad." I grabbed him by the arm and helped him off my bed. "Come on, before you learn how to play, you need to listen to all the music in the world." "All of it? That's a lot." "Well, you need to figure out what you like best. First, let's go talk to Jonah, and then I'll give you a few tracks to start with." Wyatt's foot connected with the keys on the carpet, and they flew into the wall with a clunk. He picked them up and held them out for me. "Why do you have Isabel's car?" I had to do something important. "Oh, do you need to go do it?" I pocketed the keys. "Later. This is important, too." I was in the car again. Wyatt and I had apologized to Jonah. I'd found a few perfect songs for Wyatt, and I'd written Cade a letter. It was all I could think of to do. Now I was going to drop the letter off at his house. It was a letter that talked about how sorry I was, and how all these years I'd misjudged him, how I understood why he'd acted like he had at his birthday party. He'd been waiting for his dad to call, and was hurt when he hadn't. I understood why he tried to help other people when he thought they were hurting, by diverting attention, by making people laugh, because that's how he dealt with his problems. I ended the letter by telling him that I wasn't going to walk away from him. He couldn't get rid of me this easily. I gripped the steering wheel, the letter sitting on the passenger seat, waiting to be read. I wished Cade were sitting in the passenger seat instead.
I was halfway to his house when I realized there was one place I hadn't looked. The one and only place he had ever taken me, the hotel with a golf course. I crossed three lanes of traffic to make a U-turn, eliciting a long honk from a black Suburban. I waved, but didn't make eye contact. Cade was going to be there. He had to be. I got to the hotel, parked, and followed the path he had led me on that night. I got turned around a few times, but eventually I found the gate, the one he had climbed. It was locked, like it had been that night. The moon was bright tonight, and lit the path beyond the gate better than it had when we had been here. I leaned against the gate and pulled out my phone again. "Are you at the hotel?" I texted. "If you are, I'm here. And in 5 minutes, I'm going to climb this gate, even though I'll totally get caught. And I'm not sure I can actually climb a gate. And I'm wearing a skirt. Please don't make me climb this gate." I stood on my tiptoes and tried to see even a glimpse of the patio where we had sat. I could only see some colorful tips of a potted plant. I tugged on the bars. The gate wasn't going to open. The top was flat, without pointy spikes like I'd seen on many gates. The kind of points that could impale a person. This was a good thing. But the bars that led up to the top had no horizontal connections. How had Cade climbed it that night? "I can do this," I muttered. "After all, I'm the world's greatest runner now. This should be easy." I shoved my foot in between a couple of bars to give me my first boost up.
"Are you talking to yourself?"
Relief poured through me as I heard his voice on the other side of the fence. I not so gracefully unwedged my foot from the bars and peered through them at his familiar face. I wanted to throw my arms around him, but the fence separated us. "I'm so sorry."
"Why?"
he asked, his normal Cade smile bright on his face.
"I talk to myself frequently."
"No, you know why." I wrapped both hands around the bars, using them for support. He shook his head.
"Don't be. It was Sasha."
He didn't sound angry, but he also hadn't moved to let me in. "Are you going to open this? I need to hug you. I can hug you, right?"
"If you can climb that fence, you can do anything you want, baby."
He winked, his flirt voice on. I knew what he was doing, putting up his wall. And I hated it. I hated he felt the need to do that for me. "Don't."
"Don't what?"
"Don't treat me like you treat everyone. Don't hide from me."
"And you haven't been hiding from me?"
Now his voice had an angry edge to it. "What do you mean?"
"That song. When were you going to show it to me? When it won the competition?"
"No, of course not. I wasn't going to enter that into the competition."
"Why not? It was really good."
"It wasn't meant for anyone to hear, especially not the entire school."
"I think you mean, especially not me."
I started to shake my head, but he was right. I was never going to show him that song.
"You still don't trust me."
"I do."
"You still think of me as the guy who treated Isabel badly, as the guy who's going to hurt you one day too. You aren't willing to be completely open with me."
"No, that's not true. Cade, I tell you more than I've ever told anyone." My throat was tight. "You've actually helped me find my words, my voice. But I didn't feel like the words to that song belonged to me. I didn't feel like I had the right to them." I retrieved the letter I had written him out of the waistband of my skirt and slid it through the bars. He gave a breathy laugh.
"Another letter?"
"You haven't gotten one in a while." He picked it up from where it had landed in front of him.
"Not from you."
I raised my eyebrows. "Someone else has been writing you letters?" When he didn't say no right away, I gasped. "Wait, your dad?" His eyes snapped to mine, and all the pain he'd been hiding since I'd arrived was burning there. I lowered my voice. "Will you let me in, Cade? Please." He stepped forward and opened the gate. I rushed through and flung my arms around him.
"I was just about to read a letter," he said, close to my ear. "You're so clingy."
I smiled. "Stop making jokes and let me be here for you."
We sat on the patio overlooking the golf course. We each held a letter. I held one addressed to Cade from his dad, and he held the one I'd written earlier. "I don't have to read this," I said again, "if it's too personal."
"I want you to. I need objective eyes on it."
"Okay." I took a breath and opened the envelope. I removed the single sheet of paper that was folded in thirds and carefully opened it. The handwriting looked hurried, but I wasn't familiar with his dad's handwriting, so it could have been his best effort for all I knew. "Cade, my son, good to hear from you. Life has been busy for both of us, I'm sure." Already, it felt like his dad was diffusing the blame. I paused and moved one of my hands to Cade's knee. He didn't look up. His eyes were on the letter I had written. I continued to read. "A new job where I have to relearn an entire computer system is keeping my mind occupied, and between that and family obligations, time seems to get away from me every day." Ouch, as if Cade wasn't one of those family obligations. "I'm sure you know how that goes, seeing as how you're basically a grown man already. How's school? Baseball? Any prospects for college? I'll have to see if I can get out your way sometime in the next year so we can catch up properly. In the meantime, I'm sure we can both be better about keeping each other updated. Love you. Dad." I closed my eyes for a moment, then waited for Cade to be done reading my letter. When he was, he gave me a smile and a kiss.
"I needed this," he told me.
I refolded his dad's letter and shoved it in the envelope before I gave in to the impulse to rip it to shreds. "I'm sorry," I whispered, handing it back.
"No, don't be. He's right. I could have tried harder."
"Don't give him permission to pass the blame to you."
"What do I do?"
Cade asked with a sigh. "Either call him out or let him go." Cade pulled me over to his chair and buried his face in my neck. He held on tight to me. I wished I'd been here for him earlier, hadn't pushed him away for so long. But I was here now, and there was nothing wrong with needing someone else to hold on to. "Did you pull me over here so we could make out?" I asked.
"Yes, I did."
He kissed me, and I kissed him back.
"I think I might call him out," he said between kisses.
I smiled. "Can I be there for that?" Chapter 49. I walked into the kitchen to see Cade staring intently at two necklaces on the counter. My dad sat at the table, pretending not to be interested. "Dad, no." I grabbed Cade's hand and pulled him away.
"He's an impartial third party,"
my dad called after us. Cade yelled back,
"Sorry, Mr. Abbott, I've been abducted."
"More like saved," I said under my breath.
"Your parents are so funny."
"Yes, they are." I pushed open the door to my bedroom and picked up my guitar. "Now, I need your help. You are the lyricist for our band, right? I need to finish this song in 2 days, and my inspiration has run out." Cade grinned.
"I thought you said that I inspired you."
"I'm counting on it. Now sit there where I can see your cute face and help me think of words." He sat in a chair, his gorgeous smile in place.
"Okay, let's get to work."
1 hour later, I put down the guitar. "You're as bad as my sister," I groaned. "Your lyrics aren't any better in person than they were in letters."
"That's a good lyric. You're no better in person than you were on paper."
I laughed. "Just stop. Come on. I know you can help me for real here. I just need the chorus to flow better." My notebook sat next to me on the bed. I'd been using scratch paper to try to work out the song, instead of writing down words only to cross them out in the book. Cade leaned forward and picked up my notebook.
"Can I look?"
My heart raced. I could do this. The worst had already happened. Sasha had read my lyrics to the entire school, and people had actually liked them. Little did she know that her attempt to hurt me had actually ended up giving me a confidence boost. "Yes." Cade smiled, like he knew how hard that was for me.
"Thank you."
"No mocking me."
"But I'm so good at that."
Oh, and there's a mean song in there about you? I was mad. He laughed and sat down on the floor, his back against Ashley's bed across from me.
Of course there is.
He flipped through the pages as I continued to write.
Monsters in trees?
I moved to the floor, sitting against my bed, letting my legs stretch out in front of me and intertwine with his. I said no mocking. He chuckled, and my breath caught at the sound. I watched him as he read. The line of his jaw relaxed. His hair flopped onto his forehead. His fingers poised to turn another page. And I started to write. My pencil flew across the paper beside me. Words brought us together, though they almost kept us apart. You trusted me with your secrets, and then you stole my heart. They say that love is rare, like...
What's rare? I asked.
What? His eyes lifted from the page and met mine. What are some things that are rare?
Meat?
I laughed. We're more alike than you know. His gaze softened as he stared at me.
Love?
I smiled and pressed my knee against his. I already used love. I was trying to compare it to something else. I tapped my pencil on the page, biting my lip. His eyes went back to my notebook.
This is really good.
Which one?
You know which one. You need to use it for the competition.
I can't, Cade. It's yours.
It's raw. It's real. It's perfect. Do you have music for it?
I nodded, the melody immediately coming into my head.
Will you play it for me?
I blushed. I don't really perform. I just write. These words were always meant for someone else to perform them.
Will you play it for me?
He asked again. I held my hand out for the notebook, and he placed it there. I actually have a second verse for it that's not in here. I pulled a page out of my nightstand drawer, immediately nervous to share.
I won't look at you, if that will help,
Cade said, as though reading my mind. I pulled my guitar off the bed. Yes, that will help. But when I started to play, I couldn't help but look at him, and when his gaze found mine, it only proved to calm me. I sang the lyrics by heart. I've turned waiting into a form of art, tied twisted lines around my broken heart, to keep me hanging on for one more day. I've painted on a crooked smile, hung the tears to dry a while, because I knew that you'd come back to stay. But my arms are empty, and my heart's in pieces, and my soul is twisting, and my throat is aching, because I've finally woken up to find that I've been left behind. As I started in on the second verse, my emotions closed my throat a little, making my voice husky. I'm done with this waiting game. My heart may never be the same, but it's time to live my life and move on. This may have made me stronger now, even though I'm not quite sure how. I think it may be good that you are gone. So my arms are reaching, and my heart is healing, and my soul is hoping, and my throat is screaming, because I've finally woken up to find I can't be left behind. I transitioned into the bridge, his soft stare encouraging me. I needed you. I wanted you. I tried to please you, but that's no way to live. It's all up to me now. And if I see you again soon, maybe you'll stay. I stopped playing, letting silence hang for a moment before singing the end. Now my arms are stronger, and my heart is beating, and my soul is soaring, and my throat is speaking, because I've finally woken up to find I won't be left behind. The last notes rang in the air for a moment before everything went still. My throat closed up even more now, with nerves. Cade still hadn't looked away, but his playful glimmer had come into his eyes.
I think I love you.
My heart soared. We need to save important admissions like that for letters, I stammered.
Or songs.
Yes, that would be good in a song.
I'll write that one, he said. It'll be a good one.
I laughed.
No, but seriously. Who told you that you weren't meant to perform? You are amazing.
My cheeks went red.
And that song, Lily, please enter it. It is perfect. Will you enter the song in the contest?
I took a deep breath. Before I could answer him, though, Jonah burst into the room.
Wyatt stole my Tooth Fairy money, he cried.
I did not, Wyatt said, running in after him.
You lost it.
Ashley appeared then. Can I come in my own bedroom yet? I smiled at Cade in the chaos.
Will you enter the contest?
He mouthed at me through the noise. I nodded. I would. I couldn't wait. It didn't even matter if my song won. Just knowing that I could, I would, was a huge step for me. And then I mouthed, I think I love you too.
You have been listening to P.S. I Like You by Casey West, narrated by Shannon McManus. This program was produced by Ideal Audiobooks. Copyright 2016 by Casey West. Production copyright 2016 by Ideal Audiobooks. Published by arrangement with Scholastic, Inc. All rights reserved. For more information on our catalog of unabridged audiobooks, please visit www.idealaudiobooks.com. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.